Napoleon rang the doorbell a third time. "I know this is the place," he said, turning to face us. I stood on the sidewalk beside his partner, Charles, and my colleague, Megan. Megan and I, the obvious outsiders, were trailing the duo for the day. Unlike us, Knapp and Charles had grown up on Chicago's West Side. Both had run fearsome local gangs in their youths. Nowadays, however, most folks in North Lawndale knew the gray-haired pair for their relentless prowling of the neighborhood's drug corners and porch stoops. Their efforts to coax younger versions of themselves away from a life of dope selling and violence. Guys like Johnny, who was clearly not answering his door. Johnny led a neighborhood crew. Crews, mobs, cliques. Old-timers like Knapp kept tossing out terms like these for the young men dealing drugs and trading bullets on the streets of Lawndale. The word he never used was gang.
"These aren't gangs," Knapp told me, shaking his head. "We had organization. We had discipline. We had rules. But these kids, no way."
Today's crews were fragmented, fractious versions of the large, unified criminal structures that once dominated black neighborhoods like Lawndale. True, Knapp was giving us the old ex-gang leader's version of a Kids Today rant, but it was a tirade with truth. It was a warm autumn day. Along the quiet tree-lined street, the leaves had begun to turn but had not yet fallen, and so the stoops of the three-story family homes were still well shaded. A few young men sat outside talking to friends, keeping an eye on the block. I was still new to Chicago at the time, and the quiet, leafy street hardly resembled the image of criminal turf I'd seen on TV. But this, Knapp told us, this was the Holy Land. These few blocks were the birthplace of one of the largest and most influential street gangs in American history, the Vice Lords. Down the street, some of the young men were staring at the spectacle from their porches. Our little troop, neon vests over street clothes. Strangers were unusual in the Holy Land, and we were knocking on the chief's door. Some people would have given up on Johnny at that moment, but there's a reason I call Knapp and Charles relentless. Charles hollered,
"Hey, any of you guys know where Johnny's at?"
and strode straight toward the closest knot of young men. All across the city, outreach workers like Knapp and Charles were chasing down 1,000 Johnnies, the 1,000 men we figured were most likely to pull a trigger in the months ahead. The previous year, 2016, murders in Chicago had spiked by an astonishing 58%. Knapp and Charles represented a new kind of response to get those numbers down. Word had gotten around about the goods Knapp and Charles were dealing. "You guys from that program?" one of the young men asked. He immediately relaxed and grinned. That program was offering a transition to a new life. 18 months of a legitimate job and paycheck, with about 10 hours of behavioral therapy woven in each week. The job was what interested him most.
"What I got to do to get in?"
another asked. Just as Knapp was starting his spiel, Johnny's door swung open. A short, confident young man with bright eyes emerged. He was wearing a Superman t-shirt and fitted black sweatpants, lean and well-built, like the track athlete he'd once been. A little girl about 2 years old followed him out.
"Sorry," he said. "We were sleeping."
Johnny's brother used to run the mob on the block, but he'd been shot and killed a month before by a rival crew. Now Johnny was Lil Chief.